Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
As much as we don't want this to play out in the media, and I think, like I said last week, the best thing for us to do is to send proposals back and forth and announce it when it's done. But it's positive. Any traction on the two sides sending proposals back and forth is positive. And I think that's what the fans should take from this, is that there's conversations happening and we're getting closer to a deal, no matter how far off we are on these proposals from either side. Sending them back and forth is getting us closer to a deal. So I think there's nothing but positives coming out of the two sides talking.
Well, that's a more sanguine take than others have had. Ian Happ expressing some optimism as the talks continue, as in whatever form they may be, and maybe having them done privately is better than having them done publicly, but people want baseball to return one way or another, as long as it's fair. Craig Calcaterra is on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra, the lead baseball writer for NBC Sports. He joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Craig, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, and I'm amazed at some aspects of the current discussion that we're having. And I know Twitter polls are unscientific. I know a lot of this evidence is anecdotal. But something has happened. Something in the zeitgeist has changed regarding the way we look at players versus owners. And something's changed very, very positively. When, as we entered this and we saw that this was, that these talks were going to start, we all went in, those of us of a certain age and experience, went in with the assumption that it was going to be easy to paint the players, the wealthy players, as greedy, 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 and intractable. And it's not happening in large part. I've really been heartened by so much evidence that people are turning against the billionaire plutocrats faster than they're turning against some of these players. I think that's it's a good thing. It's a positive evolution. Are you feeling that too?
It's definitely different than it was in the past. I'm of an age where I was an adult during the 94-95 strike. I was online as one could be in 2002, the last time they had a really contentious bargaining session over the collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, obviously you would remember yourself that at that time, and always really in baseball history, the fans have been like, hey, you guys are paid to play a kid's game. You're millionaires, go play. That's certainly not as prevalent now as it was. I think the biggest reason is there are more voices. I mean, in 1994, you got your information about the strike from someone on ESPN who probably had a source with someone in a front office, not with the players. Anytime until the age of social media, you really were only hearing probably one side of it, because baseball teams and the commissioner's office have always had a pretty good PR operation. The players' union has never had a good PR operation. And, you know, players aren't always the best spokesman for their own cause sometimes. We saw that even this time with Blake Snell a couple of weeks ago. So Now, though, you got a lot of voices, whether it's labor law voices who are explaining to people what's going on, players who are, you know, their own good spokesmen who are going on social media and explaining their side of the story. It's also the case that a lot of these ownership groups are sort of faceless now, right? You don't have the long-term owner who brought the team to town and everybody, you know, love him or hate him, knows him very well. You've got a bunch of people who are part of some private equity group who bought the team on a leveraged buyout a few years ago and are trying to make a buck on it. That's not exactly a really popular spokesman for the team.
I never thought of it that way, that it isn't like the area car dealer or the area real estate mogul who happens to be the local guy who owns the baseball team. That maybe that there's a disconnection there that I hadn't thought about. I think there's a larger scale sort of secular shift in thinking, at least for people under 45. And I obviously can't speak for them since I'm 50. But it does seem to me that a generation of people who have had their futures taken away from them in some part by what you describe these private equity firms sucking up assets, stripping them down and selling them off just for brand value. What some kids have seen as an unfair socioeconomic system stacked against them, it has to fundamentally change the way they think about some of these ownership groups, whether it's subconscious or active.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody wants to pretend sports happen in a vacuum and, you know, the whole stick to sports thing, and that's just where we go for entertainment, and the rest of the real world doesn't intrude. That's a fiction. That doesn't happen that way. And you can just look around the rest of society, what people's attitudes are. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, rising socialism or young people who are progressives or whatever are the majority in the country. But in a certain age group, they're certainly well more representative than they used to be. The same sort of people who are questioning corporate power, who are questioning Wall Street, who are questioning anything, those people are sports fans too. And they see the same dynamic. It's pretty easy to see, for example, when some private business goes in and buys a retail chain and then loots it and then it goes out of business for some reason, people see what happens there, and they see that's exactly what happens in some sense with a Major League Baseball team. I mean, when you go into debt, like 98% debt level, to buy the Kansas City Royals because you want to flip them in a few years, kids in Kansas City are like, well, wait a minute, why are they doing that to our team? It's not exactly unrelated to what's going on in the larger world.
I also think that the absence of baseball has in large part made the heart grow fonder. And we spent a lot of time decrying what the bad aspects of the game that had been exacerbated by analytics and velocity and the lack of balls in play and the strikeouts and the lack of action, the length of games, and picking it apart and saying, okay, you know, the average fan's a 57-year-old white man, baseball's in trouble, baseball isn't compelling, young kids can't sit through a whole game. And now, when you take it away, and people are we're going about our lives without the whatever it may be, the connective tissue that it gives people, the fabric of it, this just the fact that it's not there is such a noticeable absence that I wonder if we're individually recalculating what baseball actually means to us, as much fun as we've had nitpicking what we don't like about it in this curmudgeonly sense, that this the absence of it is romanticizing the game again for some of us.
Oh, I think that's definitely the case. You know, it's funny, baseball has always been treated a little bit differently than other sports. You know, when people think about baseball, they like to complain a lot about baseball. And then that becomes this larger, oh, baseball is dying, baseball is horrible sort of thing. Look at the NFL. I don't know if online you are during games on social media, like on a Sunday afternoon. I'm not even a football fan myself. But if you were just to follow pro football by being on Twitter or something, you would think that everyone who's a big football fan absolutely hates football. I mean, they talk about how terrible the quarterbacks are. They talk about how dumb their coaches. They talk about how miserable it is to watch their team. And this is like for people who are following like 10 and 16 who are playoff bound. This is ridiculous, right? That's the sense. But they love it, and they're devoted to it, and they go back to it constantly. It's the most popular thing in America. Baseball hasn't really had that. People have the complaints about it, and then there's this national conversation of, are we tuning it out as baseball past its prime? I think we're now starting to fall back into the sort of football mode of, God, everything about baseball stinks, but boy, I miss it. And, you know, it's just a timing thing more than anything else given all that's going on in the world.
Yeah, I guess I've said this repeatedly. That's one thing that the pandemic has done. It hasn't necessarily created any new forces in our society, but it has illuminated them, it's intensified them, and it's accelerated the effects of them. More for the worse than the better, I think. But if maybe all that we're going through allows us to recalibrate how we feel about baseball, as long as there's smart people involved in the discussion, I think it could be a good thing. I think instead of just sort of lobbing insults or saying, I hate it, I don't like your team, or I don't like this guy, I don't like that guy, maybe that if we're getting close to the brink of baseball being in some kind of business trouble here, which it may be, that the next iteration of it could be for the better.
Oh, I agree. And again, you know, look at how hungry people are for anything that's either interesting, fun, something that gives them fond memories. I mean, how many people watched that Michael Jordan documentary that might not have watched it if it came out a year ago? I mean, it would have been popular anyway because he's Michael Jordan, but nowhere near the phenomenon that it was. This weekend, I think Major League MLB Network or whatever is going to run 64 straight hours of Derek Jeter content. If there's not anything that's going to make you miss real baseball, current baseball, than watching 64 hours of Derek Jeter, I don't know what will.
Yeah, no thank you. I think I've got the big I'm not interested sign on that, especially now that Derek Jeter has joined exactly the ownership class that we were just decrying.
All I know is I saw the press release for that, and I thought it was a threat more than an advertisement, so it was kind of scary.
Are you interested in the documentary of the 98 home run chase with Sosa and McGuire?
Probably a little bit because it's faded in my mind a little. I don't know how much I'll watch it because I've written so much about it and everything, but I think we're definitely due for, you know, I don't know what your listeners think about it, but I think we're definitely due for a Sammy Sosa reassessment at this time in life. I think there's not a guy that came through that period and then through all the turmoil that came afterwards that's gotten less of a fair shake than Sammy Sosa, in my view. So,
yeah, that's a controversial opinion among some Cub fans, but I, like you say, I've looked back on the way, and not just his, and I covered those teams, and I was in those clubhouses, and I know how his teammates thought about him, and it was some toxic stuff that was going on.
Oh yeah,
but you can't argue with the production, and I've stopped doing it, and I've stopped saying, you know, trying to be the judge and jury of steroid guy, not steroid guy. I think the numbers are the numbers. I think we've got drug abusers and performance-enhancing drug abusers among the all-time greats who are in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I think there is a reckoning and a reconsideration that probably should happen.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that the Ricketts family has an asset and like they do in the Chicago Cubs. If it was of its value, if it wasn't for a lot of work in Sammy Sosa to that team, so maybe he was a jerk, maybe he cheated, but. You know, I think Cubs baseball looks very, very different coming into the 21st century without him.
Craig, always good catching up. Look forward to the next time we get to talk. Have a good weekend.
Thanks a lot.
That is Craig Calcaterra, lead baseball writer for NBC Sports. Hub Arkish talks football next on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.